Welcome to Exploration 1, Lecture 19, where we attempt to use static routes to get our topology communicating amongst itself. Now, last week... Did anybody listen to last week's recording? Because I might have to go back over what we did in there.
I didn't find one for last week.
Yeah, it went up. There was a little one.
Who was here? Was it me and Mike last week? I can't remember anything.
Yeah, and there was only like 17 minutes long. I'll just make sure it's up there. I'm pretty damn sure it is.
I checked it about 10 o'clock this morning for me.
Yeah, Exploration 1, Lecture 17.wav. It's like 15 meg big.
17? I thought I heard it before. Oh, can we listen to it again? Maybe it wasn't the same practical.
Well, it's dated May 31 is when I put it up there, and it's the 5th of June. Hang on. The 31st of May? Did we do nothing last week?
Well, I wasn't here, but I hope that... I don't know.
Yeah, but it's July now, so why is that modified in May? Oh, dear.
We did do something last week.
I've got some revision to do.
Okay. There was 1 week we didn't do something.
I'll have a look around and see what it was and see if I can remember what happened in what order. But so it looks like I'll just go over this stuff again. Because I know we played with some stuff and you guys configured the interfaces on the workstations and you put in default routes. That's what I remember doing in the very last lecture. That should be up there but might not be.
Yeah.
Yes, I was here then, wasn't I?
Not for the default routes. You weren't there for that one, but you know what a default route is, so it's not a horrendous problem.
Okay.
But I don't think Monica was here, which is okay, because she's not in the class, but I don't think you were here, Monica, when we talked about default routes.
No, I was not.
Okay, well, here's the postage stamp version of default routes so that you know what we're talking about. A default route is a gateway of last resort. It is the route that all of the traffic goes to when it doesn't know where else to go. So if you've got a subnet at home that's 192.168.1.x/24, all of the traffic that goes to 192.168.1.x will, in simple terms, turn up on the Ethernet/wireless network, and anything else that's not destined for 192.168.1.x is sent to your ISP. Does anyone have any questions about that concept? No? You're allowed to have some if you honestly do have some, because like I might be oversimplifying it, and you're like, yeah, that made no sense to me. Okay, so what we have in here is we have two stub networks. We have a network at Perth, and we have a network at Port Hedland. The network at Perth is the 24 network, the network at Port Hedland is the 26 network, and the ISP sits in the middle. We said last week that we were going to put a default route on the Perth route, Perth router and the Hedland router to make them send traffic to the ISP by default. And we also spoke about how we were going to set the gateway on the workstations at Hedland and Perth to be the respective routers, which is what I remember doing last week.
Yes, I believe.
What's the iOS command for getting the default route set? I'm not sure I know it.
IP space route space 0.0.0.0 space 0.0.0.0 space, and then either an interface or a gateway.
Oh, good. Right.
Okay, so basically you've got the Perth network, which has a default gateway to its router on the workstation, so we need to check whether that is in fact in... Oh... You guys will have lost workstation configuration because I've rebooted them. So you might have to go in and re-IF config them, which is probably good practice. Shall we do that? And I'll even give you the necessary commands in chat so you guys can have an idea of what you're doing.
Which workstation did you want, Monica?
Yeah, Dell.
I'll do 14. I think it shows as 6. I can't see it with the control key down, but I do know it's number 14 to get in if you want to do 13.
Okay.
Sabahattin, you're doing the ISP. which is
part two,
three and four maybe. Otherwise you can do the stuff on one and I'll do the ISP. It doesn't matter who does what, but
okay then. 3 and 4, got them.
And the Dropbox file has all of the IP configuration information. Do we need a link back in the chat to that? Has everybody still got that one, or do I need to re-drop that in chat so that everybody's got it? Might not be a bad idea.
If you could do that, I'd appreciate it.
Same one as before when I was in, or was it a different one?
I think it's the same one that you were in before, but you need to refetch it. Hang on, I'm just looking to make sure I've got the right file. I'll drop a link in chat.
Okay,
it's just the spam filter will have eaten it, but that should be the link you're after.
I've got some terrible news. I can't connect to Workstation 3 now.
Well, just use Workstation 4. It'll do for now.
Okay.
I will attempt to get all of the configuration up and running after lecture, but right at the moment I would like to demonstrate some funky things, and I'd like us all to learn something. Which I realise is a bit of a pipe dream, but we can try.
Well, we won't waste our time.
That's right.
I hate to joke, but now I can't reach 4 either.
Let me have a
Let
me get out of here and let you investigate.
If you break back, that's enough. That we've only got 4 people on, so we all get a connection into the switch.
Okay, done.
Actually, I should show you guys how to turn them on and off, shouldn't I?
Yes.
Okay. I think this password should work. You need to connect with the password power.
Should we do it just for the heck of it?
Yeah, yeah, you guys can log out and come in with the password power and have a look at the remote power manager.
Username is Cavi?
No. You close your entire Telnet session down and with the initial password of power.
Lowercase doesn't work.
Yeah, let me fix that.
Uppercase?
No, it's busted. I'm fixing it. Hang on. Now it should work in lowercase, I hope. Yay! It works!
We have the power.
Okay, now when you connect to it, it will have a password, which I'm just going to reset, hang on. Because I don't really want to give you guys all the admin password to the bundle, because whilst I do trust you, I don't want it on the recording.
Is this session actually a very good candidate for recording?
We're going to learn something. In fact, we already have.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I'm kind of in two minds about it. On the one hand, I don't think it's a very good candidate for recording, but on the other hand, we are actually doing things and learning things, and it is kind of nifty to have this stuff up. Okay, I've reset the password on it, so now you should be able to connect in as power, and then the password for the power switch should be power.
Okay, fine, so it's busy now, so I'll get my shot when everyone else is finished.
Only one person can connect onto the one serial port. Oh, hang on. It's probably me. Duh. Hang on.
Sabahattin, you go ahead since you're actually in the glass.
Okay. Still busy.
Hang on, I'm saving the parameters to NVRAM. I trust you guys so much, don't I? There you go.
Okay, I'm in. Not this one.
Now, what you've got there, because he can see it on his screen, so I'll just, titles appear. Cisco Academy for the Vision Impaired Remote Power Manager. Sparks fly from a box in a rack and almost catch fire on the carpet. No, they don't. You basically have a list of ports. Basically what this thing has is it has two circuit breakers, two 10-amp circuit breakers, and it has 8 IEC connectors per circuit breaker. So the back panel of this has basically 16 female jug cord plugs on it, and then into those are plugged cables that power all of the workstations and routers and stuff. So this box controls the power for all of those workstations and routers, and you need this for password recovery and stuff. So what Sabahattin is going to do is he's going to look up the port number for pod2wks, which is the pod2 workstations, and he's going to type /off/ and that number to turn that one off.
Okay, I've got a table at the buttons /h for help, and then a prompt, RPM greater than. So is the list above that the one that I'm looking at?
No, the list is in the table. If you want the table to redisplay, put slash S.
Okay, 16 rows of plug, name, password, status, bootsuck, delay, default.
Okay, so the plug name is the name of the plug. The status is whether it's on or off. Boot is the delay is whether it's going to wait on power up to turn those different things on. And then the whether the plug is going to be on or off by default when the machine comes on is the other column. I think I covered them. Is it making any sense to anyone? You will be able to go in and have a play after Sabahattin's finished to cement it in your mind, but is this making sense to anyone? This is basically a telnet interface to turn 16 things on and off. That's pretty much what it does. But it also has the option of saying, well, when the power is on, do my things come on by default? Do they stay on off by default? Or how long do they stay off before they come on?
That is really cool.
Yeah, cool. What's Zappo?
Oh, Zappo. I wondered who'd ask about that. That's actually the OpenVPN box that I haven't... I don't actually know whether it works very well, but basically what that allows you to do is it allows you to use an OpenVPN session to get in and configure two different Linksys WRT300N routers. It was meant to be for Discovery students to actually play with configuring the web interfaces, and then I got shouted down about OpenVPN being too hard and that I wasn't going to give that to students, and you didn't.
Oh, that's a shame. That sounds like a nice idea. Which machine am I targeting? WKS3, was it? Or 4?
No, Pod 2 WKS.
Oh, okay. Ah, got it. Yeah, Pod 2. Oh, I see. And that controls the workstations for the Pod 2.
Yeah, because there are two virtual workstations for every physical workstation. So in the rack, there are three rack mount servers. Each of them has two Pod workstations on it. So 1 and 2 are on workstation 1. So to speak, or machine 1. 3 and 4 are on machine 2, and no prizes for guessing where 5 and 6 are.
Ah, hence the virtual machines, the serial ports, and so on.
It's all rather snazzy, if you ask me.
So it's slash off space plug number, so 9 in this case.
And you're sure 9 is pod 2 WKS?
It's on the
same line.
It will
ask you to confirm. It'll ask you to confirm. So just pay attention to the prompt before you hit yes. Okay, now this is a power on off switch. Can anybody tell me what is one of the precautions that we're all going to abide by when we're playing with this power switch? Anybody think of something common sense that you might want to keep in mind when you're flicking things on and off?
Make sure all of your configurations are safe.
Yeah, there is that. Something else?
Make sure
don't
no
do
one
it
else
too rapidly.
Ah, Sabahattin's got it. Don't do it too rapidly. This is physical hardware and it has fans and stuff in it, so you've got to wait for things to spin down. So once you've gone slash off 9, you should probably wait at least 10 to 30 seconds before going slash on 9 again.
RPM greater than slash off 9. Plugs to be turned off. Plug 9, pod 2 WKS. Sure.
Why enter?
Are you sure? Haha.
Yep, just made a load of noise, and then put me back at the display front with the new status, and then RPM greater than...
Which stands for Remote Power Manager. Just in case anybody cared. Now you can slash on, or actually wait a little bit longer, actually. It has sort of quietened down in the storeroom, but by the time I finish talking, you should be able to do a slash on space 9. But if students toggle things on and off really fast and bang the power supplies in the rack mount server, Ian will be very upset. I won't be so upset because they're incredibly noisy servers. But Ian will be, and so we should probably avoid that if possible.
Yeah, we'll be sensible. Slash on 9, return. Plugs to be turned on. Plug 9, part 2 WKS, sure, when.
Yep,
and
there it goes.
It's toggled to 1.
There you go. And obviously the status will be shown in the slash S table, but I think it reprints the slash S table anyway.
Yeah, it's on.
So apart from actually toggling on and off the USB to serial adapters, you guys can actually turn everything on and off remotely, which is kind of nifty. And I was actually thinking of shutting down all of the machines in the remote bundle until they were actually required to save power. So maybe that'll happen. I am probably going to deploy test VPN keys when I get a chance to play with them, because I think we really do need to unleash OpenVPN on the Discovery students. Like, if it's all set up and you just have to, like, connect and disconnect it, I don't think that's unreasonable. So I think we'll just do that. And you get to go in and configure a Linksys router, and everybody can see what goes on in Chapter 8. But unfortunately, the firewall lab in there will still be a bit difficult to do, because we don't have machines hanging off those routers, because we don't have room for them.
What else, before I leave this power switch, just out of curiosity, can I do with it? I probably shouldn't do anything more, but what would slash age tell me? Well, I just ran it to see. But what would it tell me as a student?
Well, you can turn ranges of ports off. So say, for example, you wanted to turn off everything in pod 3, you could slash off 7:9, or is it, yeah, 7, it's either 7-9 or, yeah, it's 7-9 would turn off ports 7, 8, and 9. You can turn multiple ports on at once. You can change the configuration for the power switch as to the delays that the ports will undergo when the power switch is actually turned on, like when the power switch gains power, and I'd really prefer you didn't do that. You can change the passwords and the site ID and all sorts of things. And you can change the network configuration, which won't do you any good because it's not actually connected to the network. It's connected to the remote bundle with a serial cable.
Yeah, I probably won't limit myself to on and off, but it seems to let me, yeah. There's also a camera wide to bypass the shorefront, which I don't like the idea of doing, to be honest. But the help is pretty comprehensive. What does boot mean? / boot and boot plug in?
Whether the plug will be on when the power switch is turned on.
Ah, right.
Okay, so now we should be able to get back to... Actually, you guys could have been in configuring your workstations with IP addresses and subnet masks while he was messing around. We need to get into workstations and configure their IP addresses and subnet masks with the ifconfig command, which I'm just about to put into chat. So we can get in and do that.
Okay, I've freed that port.
Here we go. ifconfig space /eth0 space a.b.c.d, where abcd is the IP address, and the net mask will default to 255.255.255.0 because the addresses we are using start with 192, and the default subnet mask for IP addresses starting in 192 to 223, or binary 110, is a Class C. I got into trouble for telling people that in ITE. If you have an IP address that starts with 0, or 0 to 127, that's a Class C. If you have it starting with 10 in binary, which is 128 to 191, that is a Class B. And then if you have it starting with 110, which is 192 to 223, that is Class C. So there you go. Something interesting for you all to mull over. So if you always wanted to know why the subnet mask defaulted to 255.0.0.0 on a 10 address, or why it defaulted to 255.255.0.0 on a 172.16, now you know.
Bad old days of classful addressing.
Yeah, absolutely. Alright, who's doing which workstations and all that sort of good stuff?
I'm doing 5.
Right. I took 3.
Does 3 work
now? Workstation 6 should be configured.
It does.
Ooh. Okay, can Workstation 5 ping Workstation 6? Let's find out. You guys can test
I'll
that.
I'll tell you in 1 second.
Man, the Cavi Hotel group is getting busy now.
You know, just looking through the text file to find the... I think you mentioned them already. Do I apply the same addresses and netmasks to these two workstations?
131.88.something, or one, I don't know, it's in the text file. Hang on, I'll open it and look, It's 131.something. Oh, that's appalling. I just saw a tweet from Bored Ghost saying, experiment, after 2 hours in the freezer, ghosts can't freeze, cats can. Oh dear.
Char, I'm not able to ping you. I just checked and I think my IP address...
I am being a bit of a dense one. I can't remember the thing to get into the root.
Oh no.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Star Rage Star. S-U-D-O space S-U.
See, how did I know? Oh, see, I was thinking the rotor. I'm confusing myself. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I failed.
I will forgive you. But if you're doing advanced Linux, can you please try and remember that little bit? Or just don't tell the rest of the class you don't remember?
I was totally thinking router and totally confusing myself. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I do understand. It is quite a challenge to work across multiple operating systems and platforms. And I actually saw a humorous post, which I should be able to Google up, about like operators that had their like brains explode because they'd worked on too many operating systems with different passwords and stuff. It was like multiple password syndrome or something. It was a funny post.
Hang on.
And the ifconfig commands in chat, remember? Just in case you can't remember that one.
Yeah, no, I did that.
I'm just providing assistance. I certainly wasn't inferring that you wouldn't be able to remember it. He says, desperately trying to dig himself out of the hole.
Oh. No, that's fine. The fact that I couldn't remember sudo su... I think I can remember the name sometimes. Monica, I can't ping you either.
Anybody?
Oh, shush you. He's laughing at me.
Does he want to get just on here and do it? Sorry, go ahead.
Just for verification, it says I'm using the address 192.168.26.3. Is that what you're pinging?
Yes. Says destination unreachable.
Alright, guys. What would be the first thing that you might think about checking?
Routing table.
I'd be doing an MII-tool and make sure you've got link before I'd even worry about the routing table. But that's just me.
Oh, yeah, you're right, absolutely. Well, I guess I'd have done an ifconfig and root and worked it out or something. Destination unreachable, so it's like, oh, yeah, it could be a local subnet. Yeah, you're right. Mm.
I know, I try not to be right too often. I mean, you know, us teachers, we don't want to be too superior or anything, but always check the physical first. Always make sure you've got link and cable and stuff. You can do a hell of a lot of running around chasing things that aren't showing up, because somebody didn't plug the cable in or the link wasn't up. And you feel like a right dill when you find out that it was actually that cable sitting on the desk over there that should have been plugged into that switch 3 inches away from it.
Well, I noticed that they've all got IPv6, so I'm thinking maybe we should just save us all a lot of bother and ping each other's link local addresses, and it'll always work.
I don't even know whether that will work. That would be an interesting experiment. It should work. But I don't usually do that in exploration because I do not want my students curled into a ball of terror in front of their computers at home, because we can't be held liable for that sort of behaviour.
No, that's fine. I was just kidding. And I think it will be broadcast scoped anyway, so you still have a bit of configuration to do, but yeah, Cisco iOS support for IPv6, that's a different world.
No, we've got it. The support is in the routers, but the point is, no, what you've got to understand is that the pods are physically disconnected from each other. So they're not on the same switch. They're each on their own switch, and they're each separate segment. So you should be able to ping the other workstation with its link local address. And if you want to test that in the next week and get back to me, feel free. But you won't be able to ping everything else because it's not actually on the same physical segment. So they're not link locally connected.
Right, yeah.
Okay, did we get MII... Is it MII tool, or is it MII diag, or is it eth tool? I have to get onto one of the workstations to find out.
I keep using eth tool because everybody says it's better.
Okay, eth tool? Eth tool should be on there.
I'm seeing one thing that's wrong. On ours, the default gateway is wrong.
Eth tool works and is useful.
You might want to go route del default for now.
DEL.
Yep. As in the computer brand minus an L. Reminds me of a sad joke, actually. Apparently a guy got angry with his computer and took it out on his boat and threw it over the side in the ocean. I asked him what sort of computer it was, and he said it was a Dell rolling in the deep. Oh, I liked it.
That's funny. So route and then DEL and then default.
Yep.
Keeps telling me no such process each time I do that.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, hang on. Try route del 0.0.0.0.
No such process.
Just do a route space minus N and see if you've even got a default route set on yours.
Yeah, 192.168.26.0.
Same here.
That's not the default route. That's not the default route. Does anyone know what that route is?
It says GenMask and something else. Destination
192.168.26.0 is the route that points to the Ethernet that exists on your systems. Remember, you guys are on the 192.168.26 subnet. Therefore, you need a route that says 192.168.26. goes to the Ethernet.
Okay, so it's got destination gateway.
Yeah, destination gateway, GenMask, IFface, flags. The destination is the destination of the route. The GenMask is the subnet mask that is relevant to that route. The gateway is where that route is going through, and the flags and stuff tell you whether the interface is up or down or all that sort of stuff.
0.0.0.0, I can't see where that is, but would that be what it's saying is the default gateway if we don't have one?
No, the default gateway will appear at the beginning of a line, so it'll say 0.0.0.0 space 0.0.0.0 and then some other stuff.
Okay, well the only IP address that's there other than the 0.0.0.0, which is in the middle, is the 192.168.26.0.
Then the no such process means that you actually have no default route set.
Okay.
Oh, and Workstation 1 has no configuration in it whatsoever because they've been rebooted. Alrighty. Is the interface, if you run ifconfig, is the interface on your workstations marked as up?
Yes.
Alrighty. Can you ping your own IP address?
Yes.
Alright, let's see if Charlene can do any of those things before we go any.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so what happens if you now try and ping the other person? Maybe things have settled down to the point where it will actually work. Don't forget, Workstation 5, you're pinging .3, and Workstation 6, you're pinging .2, 192.168.26.
No.
I haven't done any configuration of the central router yet. What do I have to do? Do I have to do that now?
Probably not this late in the lecture. You can do it next week. I might have to go in and have a look because I'm not sure what's going on here. Which one do people want me to have a look at?
I'll log out. You can come look at mine. I'm on 5.
All right.
I've done 3 and 4 and they seem to be talking to each other.
So they can ping each other.
Yep.
Yay, something goes right today.
At least if I did something wrong, so did Monica. Just kidding. Either that, or since I was the one on the router last week, maybe I messed it all up.
No, I don't think it's
actually... We're good. Look at it this way. If we're both going to make a mistake, at least we're making a good mistake. We'll learn from it.
And we're making the same mistake.
I'm wondering whether the switch was down when these machines came up. I'm just going to reboot this virtual machine and see if... Well, hang on. Let's see if I've got link. Okay. It looks like there's a problem with the link. Let me just break back. Okay. Connect back in, Charlene, and do an IP space... I'll type this into chat. IP space show... IP space link space show space ETH 0. I'm just about to type that into chat. And you want to try that as well, Monica. IP link show ETH 0.
Okay, what am I looking for?
You'll see it in the first line of output, I think.
No carrier, it says.
That's right. Yeah. As far as the virtual machine's concerned, you've got no link. So, I would recommend you reboot your virtual machines and see if that changes. So do a shutdown space dash R space now. And yes, this will turn into a corker yorker. troubleshoot the remote bundle guide at some point on the wiki, once I can figure out how to get the wiki group problem fixed so that other people can edit documentation without having the admin password. Arg.
You'll be happy to know that V6 link local does work.
Oh, good.
Very nice. I'm going to set up ping pong and start pinging and ponging packets between them without having to configure anything. How nice. That's very useful.
Hey, Monica, we didn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't think you guys had.
That was a fast reboot, wasn't it, Char?
It is really cool that you can see this reboot. That's kind of awesome.
Yep, that was the plan, so that you guys could see these Linux machines come up from scratch. And they all use, you guessed it, our beloved serial consoles. So this is a practical application for the debuggability and usability of serial consoles on Linux boxes.
When I rebooted, I got a message that said unable to resolve host for WKS5 before it asked me for the password.
That's normal.
Okay.
Now you get to
now
do the
IP. Now, did you want me to do the show?
Yeah, that thing. And it should even be in your history if you up arrow. It'll still be there, although it is good practice to type it again. In fact, maybe we should just like sentence you to type sudo su 15 times at the just kidding.
No kidding.
Serial console on the Linux boxes. Just occurred to me to wonder whether the Linux box needs to know about the USB interfaces. I probably got confused somewhere.
The
still
Linux
got no
box.
Carrier.
Oh, crud. Hang on.
Mine still says no carrier.
How annoying. Hang on. That's really odd. I don't think there's anything wrong here. I could reboot the switch. Yeah, there's a bug. And if the link is not active when the virtual machines come up, they decide that the link isn't available full stop and you can't send any packets between them.
That's inconvenient.
Ugh. The bar, we could probably hear that in the background, are at signs on the switch. How tedious. So I was just sort of sitting there and I thought my Twitter client had crashed because I was reading a tweet waiting for the switch to come back up and it's like at and I'm just like, ooh, has the cube finally like died a horrible death on my machine? And no, it was just the terminal window throwing at signs at me. If you get bored, you should probably reload one of the switches and have a look at its startup messages. It's somewhat interesting. They actually do port async loopback tests and all sorts of things as they come up. Alright guys, well I think I'm literally going to have to reboot those workstations, unless one of you wants to go in and turn them off and turn them back on again. Who wants to do it for some practice on the power switch? You're out, Sabahat, and you've already had a go.
Go ahead, Monica. Unless you don't want to.
Oh, you go ahead. I'm a little tied up at the moment, but you go ahead.
Alright, you just save the recording, because it's basically a debugging aid.
But we learned a lot. It's, well, it's a lot of Linux commands, but we learned how to figure out if there's a link problem, right?
Yeah.
We're learning troubleshooting.
That's an important skill to have, because in the real world, machines don't behave like the textbook said. They have a mind of their own.
Actually, that's what
that's
I like about
I have the power.
Oh, Sabahat, and I've never heard such twaddle in my life. I have seen a Mac go down like a European economy.
Indeed. Kernel panic used to be quite common on Leopard when they first brought VoiceOver out. It's quite funny, actually.
Next thing you'll be telling me they can't get viruses. No, the power manager, which is on number 2. Oh, you go in with the password. No, you go in with the password power, remember?
Yeah, I got that. But what am I looking to turn off?
You're turning off pod 3 WKS. I like that. Remember, kids, no handling of fireworks. Leave that to the adults who have been drinking all day.
Okay, Monica, you probably just got booted or something.
I'm back on the serial link, so I'm good.
No, you would have just seen the serial ports become unresponsive while she turned it off, and none of your keys would have gone through. And in fact, if you'd stayed connected, you would actually have seen the power-up messages for the workstations once the VMware server came back online, or comes back online.
Oh, wow, Terraterm window is still there.
Certainly is.
First, I thought it was just a dead TCP connection that I had to force quit Telnet, but no, apparently not.
Okay, it should be going on. Now I'll get out of here and get back in there.
Unfortunately, we don't have We don't have enough blindy geeky tech to stick a Linux box in there so you can hear the things turning on and off. But if we ever get too much money and too much free time, we will add an Icecast stream of our academy so that you can listen to that. Actually, no, we won't.
Because we just need a drop cam.
That you guys will hear, and I'll be like complaining about you all, and you'll be listening in, and then you'll tweet about it, and yeah, that's bad.
Just put Derek in there.
No, we'll toggle the power switch really fast until it explodes, and then record that.
Okay, let's see if you guys get a link when those things come back up. Did your workstations come back? Would be the first question, because they might not have. They don't always.
Well,
I guess what we really need is a robot arm.
No, carrier message this time.
Oh, so one of them came back online. Because I'm assuming Monica's is working and yours isn't.
No, I said no carrier came online, so it seems to be...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yours is okay.
Mine is non-responsive, so I can connect to mine and it says I'm connected, but it doesn't even give me a login prompt. It just says I'm connected and just sits there.
Hit enter. Hit enter, it'll come up.
It might not, actually. But she certainly should hit enter and see if it comes up. But yeah, she may find that it won't.
No, it doesn't. It just seems stuck.
Okay. Basically, after lecture, I walk in there and pull all of the power out of the USB to serial and disconnect the USB to serial from the virtual workstation. And I switch it off and switch it on again, and it should come back. Such is the fun of USB to serial boxes. So... we didn't quite get through as much as I thought we were going to today, but we did do lots of fun troubleshooting. So, I will make sure that the bundle is fully functioning before next week's lecture. Well, I did try to do that today, but I was stupid and tried to do it at 8:51, which never ends well. So, message to the wise, do it after 8:51 in future, because I just assumed it would be okay, and, well, we all know what assumed did.
We still learned a lot.
Hey, we learned about the power thing. We wouldn't have learned about that otherwise.
That's right.